Hello and welcome. This is Sharon. I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. We will begin our reading on the front page with an article entitled Healthcare, a New Vision of the Future. OSF St. Joseph blesses 25 new beds in ICU to meet demand. OSF Healthcare unveiled and blessed an expanded intensive care unit at OSF St. Joseph Medical Center Tuesday morning with a number of local leaders and community partners present. This is just one part in a multi-phase plan and a multi-year plan to increase the capacity here at St. Joseph so that we can evermore be able to provide more for our community and for patients that are receiving complex care close to home, said Carol Friesen, CEO of OSF Healthcare's Eastern Region. The expansion addresses a shortage in the hospital's ICU, which has been running at capacity most days since the COVID-19 pandemic. Despite the addition of 12 beds in 2023, the hospital's officials said. The expansion nearly triples the ICU capacity, growing from 14 beds to 39 beds. As part of the expansion, the location of the ICU also has been moved to make way for another phase of construction that will add 60 to 65 private beds to the hospital. Friesen said St. Joseph has about 150 beds, and in the coming years, the organization aims to reach 210 beds. They will also open a new chapel on site at the end of the summer. Friesen said the ICU expansion has made hospital leaders think about how they will serve an influx of patients today and also in the future as the region continues to grow and as access to specialty providers wanes over time. In the last number of years, we've seen the most young segments of this population grow by 7,000. And before 2030, we're expecting them to grow another 7,000, Friesen said. Growing needs include advanced spine procedures, which have been furthered at OSF St. Joseph in the last 5 years, as well as oncology surgery and advances in electrophysiology and cardiac services, which all require additional space in the ICU, Friesen said. Enmi Shim, president of OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center, said since she started at the hospital 6 months ago, there have been questions about the vision of becoming a regional referral center due to the influx of patients during the longer flu seasons. During the pandemic, the healthcare industry as a whole lost about 40% of its workforce, either through retirement or career changes, Shim said. This has had many different impacts, Shim said, but the most devastating has been on rural communities where people may only have a single provider to cover a specialty, and hospitals cannot keep up with the demand of the market. In the past 2 years, Shim said 4 obstetrics and gynecology programs within 50 miles of Bloomington closed their doors because they did not have providers. As we think about Central Illinois, thank God OSF has St. Joseph Medical Center with all subspecialties that the community and the region is going to need, Shim said. This new ICU marks a new beginning for St. Joseph's, and with that is a new vision of the future. Shortly after the remarks, the Reverend John Twinamungi, assistant chaplain at St. Joseph, led guests in prayer and blessed the ICU unit, sprinkling holy water throughout. Town Council, normal to limit short-term rentals. ban for single-family duplex residences. Short-term rental properties will be allowed in multifamily and commercial districts, but not in single-family homes and duplexes in Normal. The council decided this week, despite questions raised about the town's decision-making process. The Normal Town Council on Monday voted 5-2 to adopt additional regulations to the town's ordinance on short-term rental properties, which include Airbnb and Vrbo operators, after a lengthy council discussion and public comment session made up of mostly short-term rental owners and supporters. Council members Scott Preston and Kathleen Lorenz were the two dissenting votes on the amendment to the ordinance that regulates short-term rentals based on zoning. But they voted in favor of the amendment that allows owner-occupied residences to continue operating in those restricted zones. During public comments, 8 community members spoke against the measure to ban short-term rentals in certain zones, while 2 spoke in favor. Those against the amendment argued the additional regulations limit the rights of property owners to rent their properties as short-term rentals, and they questioned the validity and proof of complaints from neighboring residents about such properties and whether these types of businesses actually affect the current housing stock in the community. It limits the fundamental right of a property owner to rent a non-owner-occupied property and contains no rational justification for such infringement, said Tracy Patkunas, president of the Mid-Illinois Realtors Association. Renting one's property is not a privilege, it's a fundamental right to property ownership. But Kunis said this ordinance places a higher value on anecdotal evidence than on the data-driven solutions in order to justify the need for a ban on short-term rentals in certain zoning districts. And before passing such an ordinance, the town should demonstrate that there is a disproportional amount of problems in a residential neighborhood caused by short-term rentals as compared to other forms of residential occupancy. The original ordinance that was approved in November requires each owner or operator of a short-term rental to obtain a general business license for each dwelling unit used as a rental space, pay the 6% short-term rental tax, and comply with the maximum number of unrelated residents permitted by the zoning code, which includes no more than 2 unrelated individuals in a single-family residence and no more than 4 unrelated individuals elsewhere. 2 amendments to the ordinance passed Monday. The first prohibits short-term rentals in single-family homes, Zone R1, and duplexes, Zone R2, but allows short-term rentals in multifamily residential areas, R3, and commercial districts, according to the council documents. The other amendment, which passed unanimously, allows for owner-occupied residences operating as short-term rentals to continue their operations in zoning areas designated for single-family homes and duplexes, as long as the owner dwells in the residence for 9 months out of the year and holds the legal title to the property, or owns at least 25% of an entity or business that holds the legal title to the property. Although Preston and Lorenz voted in favor of the owner-occupied amendment, they questioned the reasoning for limiting short-term rental business owners, as well as town staff, for not looking further into the complaints and other regulations as opposed to the overall ordinance in their final vote. Lorenz said that in an email sent to council members a week before the meeting, City Manager Pam Reese and the town staff asked if the council preferred a ban on all short-term rental properties, or if they would be in favor of allowing owner-occupied properties to remain in operation in those designated zones. Lorenz also asked why owners and operators of short-term rental properties were not invited or asked for their opinion on possible regulations to this style of businesses. Reese responded by saying the issue at hand was whether or not the rentals are to be classified as a business and legally allowed to operate in accordance with the town's zoning code. "We are coming to council with what we hoped was a solution that doesn't address every issue, but does address the use of illegal business in R1 and R2 districts, and it does then direct the business to be allowed in R3 and commercial districts," Reese said. According to council documents, 66 properties are registered as short-term rentals in Normal as of June 3rd, with 43 located in single-family zones, 6 in duplex zones, 13 in multifamily zones, and 4 in commercial zoning districts. 42 entities own the 66 short-term rental units in town. Of those, 15 are owned by entities with a Normal address, and 15 are owned by entities with a Bloomington address. Prompted by a question from Preston, town staff said Normal currently has 7 owner-occupied short-term rental properties. Town planner Mercy Davison said the remaining short-term rental owners have addresses elsewhere in Illinois, half of which are located across central Illinois, and the other half being near Chicago or Quincy. Robert McClellan, another public commenter, referenced the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council's recent research into the local real estate market, which highlights the shortfall in the local market that is causing pricing issues and pressures on rent. However, McClellan, an internal auditor and real estate investor, said short-term rentals only account for 1/3 of 1% of Normal housing supply. If prices are high and rents are high, then landlords and investors would be better off doing the long-term rental rather than short-term rental, so the two are not corollary. They are competitive, McClellan said. We've worked very hard to attract economic investment, employers, visitors, and now we're just going to characterize them as decreasing the value of our neighborhood environments. We already have neighbors. We've had bad neighbors. We have codes for those things, he continued. Why are those existing codes inadequate in this case to enforce the character of our neighborhoods? During council discussion, Preston recounted McClellan's point about short-term rentals making up less than 1% of the housing supply, saying these rentals don't have much effect on the local housing market. Council member Karen Smith noted there is a distinction between short-term and long-term rentals in the tax code that specifically treats short-term rentals and other lodging businesses as depreciating real properties, while a long-term rental is an investment and actually enjoys more favorable shorter depreciation periods. Preston also noted the town's goals with the adopted ordinance, which include preserving the majority of the housing stock for long-term habitation, eliminating the negative impact that may include driving up housing prices and rental rates, reducing complaints pertaining to short-term rental in low-density residential areas, and preserving the residential nature of neighborhoods. Preston asked if there were any lists or way for the town to track these complaints, or at least have a number of complaints to justify the argument that the short-term rentals have caused a substantial negative impact. Both Reese and Mayor Chris Coos said there have been instances where residents have had a problem and reached out to the council, but most of the time formal complaints are not made. Reese said a lot of these complaints regarding excessive noise don't rise to the importance of a police report, and usually these complaints are made after hours. She noted in cases of parking, complaints and zoning issues can be filed with town staff, but it all depends on if the issue requires police presence, inspections, or be addressed by the administration. Preston asked how complaints can be factored into the argument in favor of the amendments if the town has no quantifiable way to track them. Have we looked at complaints for rental properties in single-family neighborhoods, or even just looked overall at inspection complaints for properties and how they tend to trend? Preston asked. Overall, and my point being, complaints are not specific to short-term rentals, and you could have a neighbor who owns their property and lives there and never rents out a bedroom or the place forever, but doesn't take care of their landscaping and the house is in disrepair. You can hear complaints regardless of who your neighbor is or how the neighboring property is utilized. You can hear complaints for long-term rentals, and it doesn't sound like we have any data to substantiate other than just the anecdotal for it being a short-term rental-specific issue, Preston added. He also said he was surprised the recommendation offered Monday, aside from the owner-occupied amendment, was essentially the same recommendation offered to the council when the topic of short-term rentals was presented in October. I would note that of the 27 communities in Illinois that are listed as municipalities that regulate short-term rentals, Bloomington, Champaign, Urbana, Peoria, Springfield, none of them ban short-term rentals, Preston said. Owner-occupied or not, we would be the one and only at this point in time. Smith applauded the short-term rental owners who take the time to connect with neighboring residents and make themselves available in cases where complaints arise. But in terms of those property rights take precedence, she said she thinks the town has to recognize that individuals have made communities their home and have a vested interest in their neighborhoods. While short-term rental operators might be less concerned about what it means to be a good neighbor. What it boils down to is competing interests to property owners. The property owners that are in a neighborhood that bought their properties and have made it their homes with the idea that they are looking to establish relationships with their neighbors, they have a certain expectation of the behaviors that their neighbor will exhibit, Smith said. They don't have control over when the neighbor in a short-term rental are continually changing as the guests come and go at those properties. Councilmember Kevin McCarthy said the town is trying to thread the needle to balance the property rights of those who use their homes as primary residences and those who want to use those as an investment. But this ordinance is the beginning of a structure to have some rules in place for short-term rentals going forward. McCarthy added that the ordinance includes a standard 5-year amortization for these short-term rentals, which is believed to offer an opportunity for short-term rental owners to earn a return on investment before converting to longer-term rentals. It also provides a process to extend that 5-year period if the owner can prove a specific hardship. For me, it's important that we take some action to start to put a structure of rules in place for some accountability, that isn't addressed by our current code, and then continue to adjust as we go along and get experience with conversations from the marketplace, McCarthy said. Reese said the ordinance itself is not perfect, and town staff never expected unanimity or intended that this was the solution. But if the council chose not to adopt anything, the town would move forward with the status quo, and there is no knowing how many more short-term rental properties would pop up in 2026. I appreciate all the effort that the staff did to pull information together. While we didn't share everything that was considered, because just looking at what other communities do, there's a lot of options out there. But we have looked at those situations to figure out how would those apply, Reese said. We are a university town. We have to keep in mind those things and situations that we deal with in terms of residential needs and the like. The town council also approved the following. Authorized an agreement for technical planning services with the McLean County Regional Planning Commission. Awarded a contract to Play Illinois for a modular playground unit and rubber surface at West Anderson Park for $102,918. Established an ordinance for industrial pre-treatment sewer regulations and amended various sections of the town's zoning code. Today's Flick Fact question. As the summer season launches, can you name the summertime pursuit that people today don't even think about? 100 years ago in Bloomington was an ordinance violation and an offense that could even get you arrested? And the answer, back in your grandparents' or great-grandparents' day, men and women, boys and girls, swimming together in the same public lake, pool, or body of water was against the law here. There used to be divided swimming areas for each sex at pools and in the Miller Park Lagoon. And from the back pages of the Pantograph, how time flies locally. 100 years ago, June 18, 1925, arrangements have been completed for the formation of a new farm loan company under the business name of Carter, Funk & Carter Farm Loans and Farm Management. The organization, a partnership of William J. Carter, Jacob D. Funk, and William J. Carter, Jr., has engaged offices on the second floor of the Livingston Building in Bloomington and plan to open its doors on July 1st. 75 years ago, on June 18, 1950, 93 youths from all parts of the state have participated in a rural Bible crusade at East Bay Camp on Lake Bloomington during the past week. Activities in the program of spiritual education included a quote down in which campers matched their knowledge of biblical verses. Contest winner was Donald Roth of Gridley. The week at East Bay was an award to youths who had memorized 500 Bible verses. 50 years ago, on June 18, 1975, Gene Goodman of Normal will be installed as president of the Normal Lions Club this evening during a meeting at Illinois State University Union. Other officers who will serve for the 1975-76 year are Dwayne Weber, first vice president, Enos Begley, second vice president, Walt Clark, third vice president, Robert Horenkamp, secretary, and Myron Wilkie, treasurer. Carl Carson is the lion tamer, and Jack Foley is the tail twister. And 25 years ago today, on June 18th, 2000, The Catherine Bike corporate office has moved out of its home in the historic Lumber Street Bikes building and into a newly constructed office building at 2 Access Way, about 300 yards from the Nestle candy plant on Bike Road. By Saturday afternoon, only movers readying the last few loads of office furniture remained at the century-old four-story building at 101 South Lumber Street in Bloomington. Co-Cumulon set for Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts in the fall. Co-Cumulon Sing Along Live will bring its U.S. tour to the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts at 4 p.m. on Sunday, October 26th. The show will feature music and characters from the children's show in a real-world interactive setting for the whole family. Tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m. by Ticketmaster, and tickets start at $20 plus tax. Tickets also are on sale now for another kid-friendly show, Blippi Join the Band Tour, which is coming to the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts at 6 p.m. on Friday, November 21st. That show is for ages 2 to 7 with an adult. Attendees will be able to sing, dance, and learn with Blippi and his band in this high-energy show, the news release said. Those tickets are $36.50 plus tax and available through Ticketmaster. Gretchen Wilson to play the Ford County Fair. Grammy-winning country music singer Gretchen Wilson will perform at the Ford County Fair at 6:30 p.m. on Friday, June 27th at the fairgrounds in Melvin. Wilson made her debut in 2004 with Redneck Woman, a chart-topping hit that she co-wrote with John Rich of Big and Rich. She has released 7 studio albums, most popularly Here for the Party and All Jacked Up. Wilson will be supported by fellow country artist Dalton Davis of Gastonia, North Carolina, whose song Sit Crooked has over 700,000 streams, according to information from event organizers. Tickets can be purchased online at fordcountyfair.org for $39 or $49 for party pit tickets, with prices to increase the day of the show. The cost includes fair admission, parking, and carnival rides. A $10 special ticket, which is only available at the gate on the night of the concert, will be available for those 10 and under, and it includes carnival rides. Gate tickets are cash only, and the gates will open at 6 p.m. After the concert, Ford County band Ridgeland will perform in the Beer Pavilion until midnight. We'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. Please stay tuned.